The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Banks, co-creator of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 367. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. My guest for this installment is a gentleman by the name of Roger Priebe. Now, Roger is an independent filmmaker. He is based out of the Cleveland area. And he started a project a few years ago, and it's a really cool project, especially if you are like me, you are a big comic book fan. Roger created this interview series called Off the Record, where he would sit down with legends from the industry to talk about their careers. So far, Roger has produced 3 DVDs of his interviews with people like Jerry Conway, Jim Shooter, and Peter David. So we talk about how these interviews came to be, the process for filming and editing and producing the DVDs. We even talk a little bit about physical media as a whole. And of course, we talk about his new project, of which the Kickstarter just launched yesterday. He has yet another episode in Off the Record scheduled, and that's with the legendary Mike W. Barr. Well, we have a lot of comic book goodness to talk about, and we even managed to fit in some pro wrestling talk as well, because Roger's a big pro wrestling fan. So it's going to be a great episode. You don't want to miss it. But before I get to my conversation with Roger, I need to thank, of course, my proud sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. I tell you all the time that it's a 5-star comic book store, and if you don't believe me, honestly, if you don't believe me, I'm offended. But if you don't believe me and you need the proof, just swing on over to the store. If you're in Central Ohio, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can even check out the store online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics, and no doubt you will see that they got you covered for your fandom, from single issues to graphic novels to toys to collectibles to back issues to primo vintage stuff. They got it all. So again, if you want to check out the store, you can do it live in person. And that address again is 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or check them out online, WGComics.com and @WGComics on Facebook. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Roger Priebe. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down this evening with Roger Priebe. He is a man that has a lot of projects going on, but he's probably most known for his Off the Record interview series. Roger, how are you doing this evening?
Excellent. Trying to stay warm here in the northeastern Ohio weather.
That's right. You're up in Cleveland. Have you received any snow in the last couple of days?
Nothing recently, just a little cold.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure we'll get there. Don't worry. You know, we just got started at the beginning of January, so.
Do you hate the words lake effect?
Oh, yeah. It's bane of our existence up here.
Well, let's start off and talk a little bit about Off the Record. So could you give the listeners a little summary of what that project is all about?
Essentially, I talked to comic book creators. It's a career retrospective interview. And it's a video interview, not audio. So you're actually sitting there and they're telling you their stories. It's a video interview. None of them, I've done four so far, and not a one has been under 3 hours. The longest one has been over five hours.
Okay. So
you're really getting a bang for your buck on these DVDs.
You know what? That's one thing I want to talk about and actually even commend, because it's, I think nowadays it's a little bit rare for people to produce actual physical media, but you do.
Oh, yeah. People always ask me, well, digital. I'm like, nope, physical. I'm a physical guy. That's been a new bane of my existence, a new addiction that I have. You know, because us comic book people, we're addicts.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, I don't drink or do drugs. I may have a drink or two here and there, but not major. But that's why I don't do that, because I know why we have that addictive personality. And it's easy to transfer from one to another, whether it's gambling, drinking, or what we do. You know, I'm sure you're in the Facebook groups with people that all have, you know, these big, huge collections and comic book rooms and all that stuff. You mean to tell me those guys aren't addicts? Yeah,
good point.
It's just a different form of addiction.
Absolutely.
So my new addiction is physical media. Well, I've always been into physical media. You know, I've been old school VHS, DVD, but now with the 4Ks, and there's all these, they're called boutique DVD or Blu-ray sellers. You know, like Arrow Video or 88 Films, Vinegar Syndrome, that specializes in special 4Ks and Blu-rays and stuff. That's my new thing, and that's going to be an expensive hobby.
You know what? Yeah, over the last, say, year or maybe year and a half, I too have been – Kino Lorber is my hookup, yep, if you will. I've been purchasing a lot of cool films from that particular outlet. And yeah, I'm with you. I like physical media. That's what I grew up with. It's what I'm familiar with. It's what will never let you down.
Exactly.
You know, if your internet craps out and you want to watch a cool movie, if you have it on DVD, you can watch that cool movie.
Yeah, and you get stuff that you can't really get anywhere else. You know, I love 3D films, and they're still producing 3D films on Blu-ray of stuff that's never ever been in 3D on Blu-ray before. And it's the exact same 3D as like in the movie theater. It isn't that red and blue anymore. It's the like in the movie theater with the white, or not the white, but the clear glasses that you get.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and they look exactly like that in 3D. I just got Eye of the Jury, the Mike Hammer film from the 50s in 3D, and it looks phenomenal.
That's pretty cool.
And he also put it on 4K, so at least a 4K and a 3D of it, so I'm covered.
Well, let's talk about, why did you start Off the Record? Like, what was the catalyst for you waking up one day and say, hey, I'm going to do this project because I think it's cool?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a big wrestling fan, and they do those shoot interviews with the wrestlers now, since everyone broke, you know, kayfabe, and everyone knows the realistics of wrestling. And so the one company, Ara Video, we're doing these interviews with wrestlers, these career retrospective interviews. And they would basically just do, you know, wrestling. It's a wrestling company. They would just do the wrestling DVD, the wrestling interviews. And I always thought it'd be great, you know, because I've had radio shows and I've interviewed different comic book people in the past, but I always thought it'd be fun to do a cool sit down, do a career retrospective interview with comic creators, especially the older ones, you know, because not everyone lasts forever. You know, we know that. I mean, that's what we've seen over the last year or so with comic creators. The hard part really is getting that first one. And the first one I got was Jerry Conway.
Did Jerry share any cool stories, you know, with his reign over Spider-Man or any of the other titles he was working on?
Oh, always. Yeah, that's another thing, too, is I have to sit down and really research and kind of get my questions in kind of chronological order, you know, and really sit down and look. And of course, you want to hit your high spots. And, of course, how many times has he talked about the death of Gwen Stacy, creating the Punisher, taking over Marvel Comics? He was like the third or fourth editor-in-chief over there at Marvel. And it didn't last. He just – it was a job he thought he wanted. And once he got there, he's like, oh, forget this. You know, this is a madhouse. So it's – I think that clip's actually up online. Up on YouTube, I believe, of him talking about taking over Marvel at first as editor-in-chief. And we go on from there. And he's a great guy and tons of great stories.
How did you land that first interview with Jerry?
Well, he was originally supposed to do my convention. I had run conventions for a couple of years up here in Cleveland, and I always try to get a guest, a nice big guest or whatever. And Jerry rarely did conventions in Ohio. You know, he's done a few since then. I was the first one to really try to bring him over, and he had like committed to the convention, but then, long story short, he kind of forgot about it and made other plans when the convention came up after he bought his plane ticket and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you know, cause I had booked them like 6 months in advance, and he kind of forgot. And I'm like, dude, so we kind of felt bad about that. And I'm like, that kind of sucked. People came to my convention expecting Jerry Conway. And cause I found out almost last minute that he canceled. Wow. And I'm like, that's like, it got my face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, so I took a little heat for that. I'm like, well, it ain't my fault. I mean, no one knows that story. I really, it's the first time I actually told that story, is that he kind of really just canceled on me last minute. You know, I didn't want to, you know, I'll take the heat. I didn't want to, you know, put that on Jerry, a nice guy. So a buddy, another friend of mine was running the Akron Comic Con. I'm sure you know Mike. I don't know if you've been to Akron Comic Con or not. Mike was running it. He brought Jerry in. Because he felt that, you know, he's like, you know, I'll bring him in. I feel bad that people wanted to meet him and no one did this and that. And so I'm like, oh, cool. He's coming to town. So that's when I contact him. I say, hey, Jer, you know, I have an idea for this DVD. Let's do this. Okay. And so set it up, did it. And it turned out fantastic. He's such a great storyteller. That's in terms of, you know, writing comics, of telling stories. So, I mean, the first one, because that's the other thing too, is if that one didn't really work out well, it kind of kills the whole project unless you really find someone else. But because then you can show that one to the other perspective people. Well, look, this is kind of what I'm expecting. This is kind of what I'm looking at.
That's smart planning on your behalf. I don't know if some people would ever put that much thought into it, that you need that solid one to kick the doors open, so to speak, for future guests.
Yeah, because when he just tells people, they don't quite get it. But when you show them, well, here, watch this. This is the gimmick. This is what it is. You're like, oh, okay. But yeah, Jerry got it right away, and he is such a great storyteller, and he's fantastic, and Jerry's awesome.
Now, I have to ask about one of your guests, because I had an interaction with him as a fan, oh my gosh, many, many years ago. But how is Jim Shooter? Because he has the reputation of being very abrasive. And so from your opinion and your dealings with Jim, is that just overblown hype, or is he Jim's a class act?
No, class act. I've known Jim for over 20 years personally.
Okay.
And I'm not saying people don't have bad days. I'm not saying, who knows, if someone comes up to him a certain way, you know, Jim ain't one to take nonsense either.
Okay.
So you never know how someone also addresses him, because he does take the brunt of a lot of, how can I say, people think they know the story and they don't.
Okay.
When it comes to Jim. So there's always that misconceptions of Jim. He wouldn't give Jack Kirby his art back. And I look at him and go, well, why wouldn't he? I mean, what's he going to do with it? You know, why would he give him back the art? You know, there's a whole story behind that. It isn't like Jim just was storing in his office like Scrooge McDuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, why would he want it? You know, there was a whole process of giving all the artwork back to all the artists. You know, but the story is, we talk about it on the DVD. Now, his is over five. His is like five and a half hours, the Jim Shooter one. Mm-hmm. And Jack sued. So when Jack filed the lawsuit, they put the kibosh on everybody. It came down above Jim. Because remember, Jim was in charge of Marvel, editor-in-chief, but he wasn't in charge of the whole company. There was people in charge of above him that he had to answer to. So when one of the guys sues like that, the people above him's like, okay, let's see what's going on. Pause the whole thing, the artwork giving back thing. Pause it. Let's figure this out. So no one got their art back.
Okay.
You know, it's some things are just simple as that. And then no one wants to hear that. They'd rather just be like, oh, evil Jim, you know, wouldn't give poor Jack his art back.
And that has been the narrative for many, many years. I mean, so, you know, I was just curious. I met Jim Shooter at the Pittsburgh Comic Book Convention years and years and years ago. In fact, if you Roger were to say, name the year, John, I would probably say it would be somewhere in the early 90s, like 92, 93.
Oh, yeah.
And I found him to be a very pleasant individual. And I asked him if I know the etiquette of it. So I asked him very nicely. I said, Mr. Shooter, I have three books that were favorites of mine as a kid growing up. And you were the editor in chief of Marvel. Would you mind signing them? And he actually said no. And he, when I pulled out that they were Shogun Warriors number one, number two, and number three, he lamented. He goes, wait a minute, these are your favorites? I'm like, yes. And he goes, that's so cool that you have them from so many years ago. Because that book was, what, 77, 78, I think, somewhere right, back right. in that. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, no, I had them. And he was, no problem. I said, would you, you know, personalize them to John? And he did. And I remember that vividly. He's one of the one of the top cool interactions I've had with a creator going to the various different conventions.
Yeah, so when I see him at shows, I normally I'll sit at his table with him, you know, and I just hear people asking. I hear like the same stories. He doesn't mind telling the same stories over and over again. And the people bring up a comic, and he'll tell a story about the comic. And like the one Avengers cover that Perez did has all these spiders on it, but he didn't draw enough legs on all the spiders, so Jim always points out that, hey, Perez, George Perez didn't draw all the legs on the spiders. You know, I've heard that story 100 times, you know. And, but, you know, he just loves it, you know. He gets people get a kick out of hearing the stories, and believe me, he has them. And believe me, we can sit down for another 5 hours.
Okay.
And do another 5-hour interview and not touch the same stories.
Well, I'm going to ask about your last one before we talk about the future one, Peter David. As many people know.
Well, quick, hold on 1 second, John. Let me go back to Jim for a half a second.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
People think it's amazing what Jim knows in terms of what's going on in the comic industry today. Just because he hasn't worked at Marvel DC in X amount of years, he still knows where all the bodies are buried. He was telling me stuff that's going on now, and I'm like, how do you know this stuff? He's still very much in the know.
Okay.
And there was one story I'll tell you real quick. He sure. said he was at the one convention, and in the back in there, the big dinner was, I forget what it was, a big one, like an Eisner Awards thing or whatever. And no one would talk to him. Some people were afraid to go up to him, and he's sitting in the back. These are the professionals. And I believe it was Evan Dorkin, I think, came up to him and told him, yeah, you know, all these people are scared of you, right? He's like, why? He goes, he's afraid Marvel DC is going to hire you and make them do their jobs. So believe me, there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
So yeah, just believe me, he knows where all the bodies are buried. But I was supposed to have dinner with him one night. We'll quick, and then we'll get to Peter.
Sure.
He's like, oh hey, that Saturday I was supposed to have dinner with Mark Wade. You want to come have dinner with me and Mark Wade? And I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
It ended up not happening. But I was like, that would have been great. Even though Mark's a little wacky now, but he still, his comic knowledge is second to none.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, his love of comics is second to none. So
let's talk about Peter, because the one thing I'm curious about is I know that from being a fan of him and his column and whatnot, he's pretty straightforward. He'll give you an opinion, whether it's a popular opinion or not a popular opinion. If he thinks it's something that he wants to discuss or wants to throw out there in the universe, he does. So did he give you any opinions or any insights that really took you off guard, so to speak?
Unfortunately, with Peter, not too much. I got a little bit behind the scenes of the people that ran, that was in charge of like the Star Trek comics at Paramount.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. There was a guy there that really just did, for some reason, didn't like Peter, didn't think Peter understood Star Trek. Did I say Star Wars? Star Trek. They understood Star Trek, and I'm like, what? He's like one of the best Star Trek writers ever. I'm like, what are you talking about? And yeah, some guy for whatever reason just had a real hard on for Peter. I forget that guy's name, but I think that clip's online too.
Okay.
But both those clips I mentioned earlier are on the offtherecorddvd.com. Both those clips are on there, if I'm not mistaken. What was I gonna say about Peter? Because unfortunately, and I hate to say this, there's no easy way to say this, is that unfortunately with Peter just being a writer, he doesn't have a lot of stories in terms of when you have Jerry Conway or Jim Shooter, who were in charge of stuff at a certain, and especially at a certain era. You know, so a lot of, so some of the stuff with Peter is, some of it's like, well, how'd you get this job? Well, they asked me. Oh, okay. You know, and I try to make it work, and I get more stuff out of them. But okay. But it was the Hulk thing. He got the Hulk job because no one else wanted it. That's wow. how he took over the Incredible Hulk book. Literally, he goes, they literally asked everybody and no one wanted it. And he goes, yeah, they asked me if he'd do 6 issues.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, in 12 years late, I think it was a 12 year run he did on that book. Something like that. Yeah, that's originally it. Yeah, no one else wanted it. He was
That blows my mind.
Yeah, but remember at that time, the Hulk was a pretty lame character. I was never that big of a Hulk fan anyway. At least Peter made him somewhat interesting. And we got to talk about the artists that he worked with, you know. I mean, you know, talk about I don't want to say lucky, but talk about a guy, a murderer's row of artists that Peter David worked with. I mean, you know, Todd McFarlane, Dale Keown, Gary Frank, you know, George Perez. I mean, you couldn't ask for any more better people than that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so he's been very fortunate on that. So, yeah, so it turned out pretty good. We did about a good 3 hours with Peter.
Let's talk about your project, about Mike W. Barr. You're going to take a look at his career. So, where's it at in the production schedule as we are sitting here chatting?
It is 100% done. The cover's done. I'm just giving it one more watch through to make sure everything's in sync, if that makes sense. You know, make sure the audio and the lips match.
Yes, absolutely. So you don't want a Godzilla film.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you don't want to print up 500 or 1,000 DVDs and all of a sudden every single one of them's out of sync. You know, that's on me. So I want to sit down and watch it. I'm halfway through it. I got to sit down and finish it. Just basically make sure that it's the DVD plays fine and all that. So
who does the physical production of your DVDs, by the way? Is it a company that you've hired out for that process, or do you do it yourself?
Well, I film them. Then me and my friend, I take them over to my friend's house and we sit down and we edit it. Make sure the color looks good. You know, we fix the coloring, fix the sound. Do a little editing if something doesn't make sense or if stuff doesn't work. Or there's sometimes there'll be some silence of me going through my paperwork, you know, we edit that out, stuff like that, and put together a little menu. Actually, this time, for a while, she was getting into some graphics, so she goes, here, let me make an opening for it. All right, go ahead. And it turned out great. So I'm like, man, it turned out so well. I wish we had these openings for the other ones. But Mike W. Barr gets the really good opening, this like a little opening credit thing she did. It's really cool.
Well, that's cool. Let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter that you have going on for the Mike W. Barr project. Overall, like, is there any cool perks, any cool stretch goals or anything that you have planned out for this Kickstarter that's going to be launching here soon? We are recording this here. Probably by the time many of the listeners are hearing this, the Kickstarter will be up and in full steam ahead, so to speak. But, Roger, can you comment on some of those cool perks that folks can get if they decide to donate?
The Kickstarter is basically – the main Kickstarter will be to basically pay for the DVD. So you're basically pre-ordering it because, again, like I said, the whole DVD is done. Mm-hmm. So basically you're pre-ordering it. And we're going to have some bundles together so you can say, well, I want the Mike Barr and the Jerry. I want the Mike Barr and the Jim or all of them. And we'll have it set up that way. And I do have a few signed copies of Jerry Conway and Jim Shooters. So I might do one of those too. You know, you get a Mike Barr and if you want a Jim Shooter signed one or if you want a Mike Barr and a Jerry Conway signed DVD.
Okay, cool. And where can folks find links to the Kickstarter and whatnot?
I can go to offtherecorddvd.com. And also if you just Google, I'm sure if you just Google Kickstarter and Off the Record, it'll come up, Mike W. Barr. And then I'll get you a link to put it in there in the notes or whatever at some point.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Roger for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Again, it's a 5-star store that you need to check out. If you're in Central Ohio, it's simple. Just go over to 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and you can check out the store in person. But if you're out of the area, you still could check out the store. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're very active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. Well, let's shift gears a little bit, Roger, because one of the things I have found out while researching and learning a little bit about yourself, you're a big wrestling fan, correct?
Oh, yeah, longer than comics.
Really? How did that fandom start? Do you remember?
The wrestling, just as a kid, just finding it. I said I'm a little older, so I remember when cable first came up, cable basically got invented, cable television, and we got the Superstation. You know, WTBS down in Atlanta, and that was, you know, Georgia Championship Wrestling, you know, with Gordon Soley and Tommy Rich, you know, all that stuff. And Saturday night, the 6:05 Saturday night show. And I would just watch, you know, I was like, you know, a young kid, I was probably, you know, 8 years old and watching wrestling, you know, eyes are like this, like, oh my God, what am I watching?
You know what? Same with me. I did not have cable growing up as a kid because my parents felt like it was foolish to pay money for TV when you can get plenty of things. You know, we had the old school antenna on the top of the roof, you know, you can get plenty, you know. But I remember a Saturday afternoon, like around noonish, I came in. My father and I were doing a few chores, and I was maybe 8 years old. I remember the last few moments of being in the house for lunch, I turned on the TV. And there was NWA Worldwide Wrestling, and it was Buzz Sawyer just absolutely, like, just beating Tully Blanchard. Like, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Just like you said, like, this maniac guy was just bumping Tully Blanchard around the ring like nobody's business. And the fans were going bonkers, man. And I was fascinated with that. And certainly right there, right around that same time, WrestleMania started, you know, the WrestleMania build started, and I started to follow that, and that's how I kind of got hooked into it. So I can totally understand, you know, being enamored with it.
Yeah, knowing all the stories now, I'm sure with Tully Blanchard, I'm sure some of those were pretty stiff.
Oh, yeah.
That lawyer was pretty stiff anyway, you know. But.
Yeah, absolutely. Who were some of your favorites?
I was a big Tommy Rich fan. I'm more of an NWA fan than I was a WWF fan at the time.
Yeah.
Just because it was that more realistic style.
Absolutely. I totally agree 100%. But anyways, you were saying Tommy Rich, who else?
Yeah, Tommy Rich, you know, I like all of them, you know, Dusty, the Horseman, Magnum TA, all that, you know, that era.
Okay.
Even now I even made, the TV title? Yeah, the World TV title, the one that Magnum held. I had that custom made.
Oh, really?
I got a few custom made belts.
What other ones do you have in your possession? If you have the NWA, NWA,
the 10 pounds of gold NWA.
Nice.
Yeah, those are the two belts I got. Well, I also have another NWA that's on the big red strap. I don't know if you ever saw that or not.
No.
People, I think, was it Jack Briscoe held it and Harley Race had it? For some reason, they put that NWA belt on a big, huge red strap. It's the plates are the same size, but the strap is like double, triple the size. I don't know why this happened, but for whatever reason, they made the NWA belt on this big, huge red strap.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I have seen that. When you mentioned the Jack Briscoe version, I have seen that. It is a god-awful looking belt, by the way.
Oh, it's awful. So I had to get one. My buddy had bought it cheap, and he gave it to me for something. He's like, hey, if you do me this favor, I'll give you the red strap. And I'm like, all right, I'll tell you. All right.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you. If you could get any belt made for you, which one would it be?
See, that the TV title one is the one I really wanted, because that's the one I remember. And I got the NWA one. Those are the two ones I really wanted. Maybe now, maybe like a IWGP maybe from New Japan. Maybe.
My pals make fun of me, but I would like to have the old UWF title, the Bill Watts UWF belt. Because I thought it, as a kid, I thought it was so cool that it had the big red letters, you know, UWF across the top or across the middle of it. And I thought that was so cool that would be my pick.
Yeah, so I'm not the biggest belt mark like that. My buddy, I have a friend down in Columbus. He's a big belt mark. He's got like 20 belts he's bought over the last couple of years. he's like that. He's a big world class fan. So he's got a couple world class titles. And
world class was my jam as a kid growing up because just what you said, for me, like, I enjoyed World Class more than I still watch the WWF, but for me, World Class was it because it was on a channel that I got on Saturday nights at 10 o'clock. And to me, it was unexpected. It was like, you never knew what you were going to get. You were going to get these wild brawls, or you were going to get these great technical matches or whatever. I loved World Class. I still to this day love World Class.
Yeah, see, I didn't get a lot of World Class where I was at.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. We had a station out of Pittsburgh that they ran on Saturdays and Sundays. There was a lot of wrestling. They had Wrestling Challenge. They had AWA. They had World Class. They had UWF Bill Watts. They had old ICW out of New Jersey. Where Tommy Dreamer and Tasmaniac and all those guys came from. And then they had, what else did they have? Oh, they had the, do you remember the Joe Pedicino, Gordon Solie, like, news show, Pro Wrestling This Week?
No.
Okay. Very few people remember that, but we used to get that too, and I loved it.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's on YouTube.
Wrestling This Week? Was that called Wrestling This Week?
Yes, it was called Wrestling This Week.
I have some of those I've got, because I was also a tape trader back in the VHS days, in the early days of the internet.
Yeah.
There was a tape trading, and I was one of the big tape traders, videotape traders, and I'd gotten some of that stuff. You know, all my VHSs are gone now, so I've been buying stuff on DVDs and Blu-rays. These bootlegger guys are still doing it. Not guys, like 170 DVD set of Ric Flair, and I'm like, it's like I got like the first 50 or so.
And we here at the PVD Cast do not encourage you to buy bootleg DVDs. Legal says I should say that. No.
Yeah. Well, if they released this stuff, you know, we would buy them.
Yeah, but,
you know,
exactly. So are you a fan of the current product?
I watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, most of the time. But what I like doing is I have my DVR set for it, and I'll come in like an hour later, and I can fast forward through – whether it be commercials or whatever. It's like, oh, I can, you know, life's too short to watch this match. You know,
so, I got you. So what's your thoughts on the current product, if I could ask?
I think better than people give it credit for. I think people have gotten real, well, that's just, and everything, everyone's gotten real cynical and everyone hates everything now, but.
Yes,
I think there's so much good. There was a lot of good stuff. And like, I mean, even back then there was good and bad. Not everything was perfect either. Always gonna have your good and bad, and same thing here. You know, you got the Bloodline stuff, which is the best stuff going on any show right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think WWE's product, I think since Hunter took over, I think is just killing it.
I agree with you as well on that. Yeah, and you know what? I think that throughout, like, I was a big advocate that, hey man, you know, even in the dying days of WCW, you would watch Nitro or Thunder, and there was at least one or two good things that you could go, oh man, that was a great match, or oh man, that was a great storyline. And that's what I say about AEW right now to many of my friends. And I was like, yeah, it's you know, it's good. There's some good stuff. There's some wretched stuff too, but that's comes with the territory.
But boy, that was bad at first. I don't care what anyone says. Oof. There was some, you know, there was some awful wrestlers in there, man. I'm like, talk about not ready for primetime players, man.
Yeah.
You know, Jelly Janela and Marco Stunt. I'm like, why is there this 8-year-old child on my television? And, you know, and also another thing, too, I think they need to get the Pretty Lee's kid off that television. I think that's just me personally. You know, you want a serious product. You either want a serious product and be taken seriously, or you don't. It's
right, absolutely.
But again, now I think they have. I'll tell you who I'm really like. He's gonna be. I'm telling you right now, this guy's gonna main event WrestleMania the next. I'm saying 3 years.
Okay.
Austin Theory.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's got all the tools.
No doubt, he is looking like $1 million.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I watched him this past week. I'm like, okay, yeah, no, this guy's main event in WrestleMania. Like, you know, I was going to say 5. I'm like, no, 3 years. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
This kid is good.
Well, are you a fan of anything else? New Japan, I presume, or MLW or Impact?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just got the new Wrestle Kingdom, which I haven't watched yet, from this past week. Their big WrestleMania show. They have a big, big, huge wrestling show, which is January 4th of every year. no matter what day it falls on, it's always January 4th. Mm-hmm. And that's their big show. So I'm looking forward to it. I hear it's a good show. It always is. Russell, you know, no one puts on a better big show than the new Japan Pro Wrestling.
So in your Facebook, you've had several meetings with some superstars throughout the years. So my question is, do you have a favorite meeting?
With celebrities? I had one one time. I'm a Twin Peaks fan. So I've been getting this Twin Peaks poster signed by all the Twin Peaks actors. And I met the one actor, his name's Dana Ashbrook. He played Bobby on the show. Mm-hmm. And he loved the poster. It's this big, huge poster. It's like the size of a wall. It's one of those big, huge French posters, you know? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I decided to get that signed. Now, what I'm going to do with it, I don't know. But I don't know. At this point, I got like 10 autographs on it. So I'm like, I'm kind of pot committed to this thing now. So I met Dana Ashbrook, and he's taking a picture. He sent it to his girlfriend, and she's looking it up on eBay, and we're talking, having fun. And I'm like, I think I'm becoming best friends with Dana Ashbrook. No, I'm not. Just
did I see that you had a picture with Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They did that New Japan and Ring of Honor show. Back when Ring of Honor was still Ring of Honor, they did that two show. One, it was like Toronto, and then they went to New York City the next day or two.
Yes.
Now, the reason they do that is people don't know. They do the Canada first because it's cheaper for the Japan people to fly into Canada than come into America. I think it's like half the cost or something.
Really? I never knew that.
So that's why they do that. Okay. So if you ever see why they go to Canada first and then New York or whatever, that's the reason.
Okay.
So, that was the show. Tanahashi was there, and I'm a huge Tanahashi mark. And I love him so much. And I got my picture with him. I got a few things signed by him. It was like during the wrestling matches or whatever. Hey, let's go take a look at the merchandise thing or whatever real quick. Just take a walk over there. And Tanahashi's just sitting there. And I'm like, ah! You know, I mark out like a little school, like a girl meeting the Beatles. Ah! You know. And so I got my picture with him. Got a few things signed. And yeah, he was awesome. Yes, that was a good thing. And I got my picture. Then they had, because the backdrop was all like New Japan and Ring of Honor. We took pictures on the ramp. we were walking down the aisles there, you know. So that was kind of funny. Let us do that. And so we were hanging out afterwards, and that was us leaving. And Nakamura came out. And so I got him I snapped a picture with Nakamura there because he was still with New Japan at the time before he went to NXT. And I think that was a show where Steve Corino almost hit me with his car leaving too.
Oh, well, what were you doing standing in front of his car, Roger?
I was just walking in the parking lot. He's just driving through like a maniac. I'm like, damn you, Corino!
All right, let's start wrapping things up here. Roger, let's talk one more time about the project with Mike W. Barr. Where folks can find information about it. Where can folks find you online? Are you going to be anywhere? Because off air, we talked a little bit about you peruse a lot of different conventions. So hit us up with all this stuff as to where people can find you, the project, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, all the Off the Records can be found at offtherecorddvd.com. And then, of course, I have my own website, just rogerprebe.com. There's not really too much on there. I have some links on there, but I got to update that. And just follow, keep checking that website, offtherecorddvd.com, and we'll have the Kickstarter up. Probably by the time this is out, we'll have the Kickstarter up, and you can get your Mike W. Barr and order any of the other ones you want.
Cool. Are you going to be anywhere, like any conventions coming up or anything?
I do plan, once I get the Mike W. Barrs, I plan on setting up and start selling them at shows, because I always wanted to set up at shows. But it's hard to do when you just have one.
Right.
You're like, well, here's my one thing. Now I have a series of I have four of those. I'm an independent filmmaker, so I have my own movies I'll be selling there too. So I have a nice little collection of stuff.
All right. Well, Roger, I want to thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and chat with me this evening.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for inviting me.
You're absolutely. And there,
find your joy, as Shag says. I don't know if you're a fan of Shag at the Fire and Water Network. That's the big motto. Find your joy.
There you go.
Whatever you like, like it. You know, absolutely. Whatever you like to buy, buy it. I like buying cheap comics and You know, I don't need to buy the new hot book or whatever just because it's hot on the stands and this and that.
Sometimes the oldies are goodies, to use another old-timey saying. So, all right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Roger Priebe, talking about his off-the-record DVD series. It's a really cool project, and you know, you want to check out some cool stories from behind the curtain, so to speak, in the comic book industry. You definitely need to check out Roger's stuff. And with that, I'm going to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you choose to do so. You can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can also find me over on Twitter. I'm at PVDMVP. And you can even leave me a message over on the Instagram and Facebook feeds. Just search for at PVDcast. Now, if you want to tell somebody all about this podcast and tell them where they can find it, there's a bunch of avenues for that. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the best place to get every single episode. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite podcasting app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. If you're somebody that loves to listen to internet radio, I'm available on CROC Radio out of British Columbia, Kimberley, British Columbia to be exact. And there's another way that you can hear the PVDcast. And last but not least, maybe quite frankly the easiest way to listen, that would be through the Facebook page. Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast. So there you go, a bunch of different ways where you can hear the PVDcast. But if you do listen, I need you to help me out a little bit, especially if you listen through one of those apps. You got to rate and review, please. That helps me out so much in the algorithm. I really would appreciate if you give me however many stars you think I deserve and write a quick comment about the episode. If you watch on the Facebook page, like those videos as well. It helps me out tremendously, and you'll be doing me a great favor. So thank you in advance. Well, I think it's time for me to mosey on down the road, so I'm going to get on out of here. But I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2023.